Do exactly what it says. Rejoice and be glad in the day. Yes, that does not mean that you won't have tears. It doesn't mean that there will be some downtime. It doesn't mean that you won't have some pain. It doesn't mean that you won't suffer. However, the fact that you are alive, the fact that God gave you another opportunity to allow him to be God in your life, allow him to show you what it is that he can do and will do, what he does want to do, allows you the opportunity for you to do your part in the day. Yes, beloved, this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in it. Wow, I tell you, I just thank the Lord for who he is. And I truly do thank the Lord, for the music ministry and the songs that Minister Kyle picks out for us. It is not an easy job to try not to do the exact same songs every single week, and it takes time, to research the song and listen, with the heart of Holy Spirit to see what he would have us to, to play for the day. And I just really thank the Lord. I'm in agreement with Danielle about Remind Me. I'd never heard that song before, but Remind Us, there's a reminder there. And listening to the songs, he did remind us, I believe, and there was a line in the next song that said, waiting and knowing. And it's so much easier to wait when you know what it is that you're going to get. You know that God has made promises. You know that he's not a man that he should lie. You know that he will keep his word. He is faithful. So Lord, while I'm waiting in this season, Lord God, I know that you will do what you said you would do. And then in the process of one of the things we know and we can be reminded of is the fact that he made a way. He made a way. He's done it before. He will do it again. He will do it again. So truly, we just thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for it. So thank him for the songs that we have sang. I pray that even as you sang the song, that it has prepared your heart to hear from the Lord. I pray that when you came on this line, you came prepared to hear from God. And not only to hear from God, but you came to be a blessing as well as receive a blessing. And that's what we should always be willing to do. We want to be a blessing to others, and we want to receive a blessing. Well, this morning, we are going to be blessed. There's no question in my mind about that. We are going to be blessed. We have with us today someone that all of you know, been knowing him for years. Praise be unto God. And when I go back and think about how I first met this man, I remember very carefully. And when I met him, I met him through his son, his stepson, coming to our camp, a camp that we had. And he was a quiet man. He was a quiet man. Yet I know he was bolder than what he showed me at the time, but he was a quiet man when he came to the camp. And then after he and his wife joined New Vision, praise be unto God, I have watched him. I have watched him. I've watched his wife. I've watched how the Lord has dealt with them in their good times and their bad times. I've watched their growth. And I marvel at what I see, what God has done in them. I marvel. And I will never forget the day that he was before the Lord and praying and told God that he wanted to basically be a blessing unto me. He wanted to serve me. He wanted to honor me, be there for me, and so forth. And the day that he told the Lord that, that same day, I was praying and asking the God to send me a couple that would be able to walk with me, walk with me, talk with me, someone that would be loyal, someone, you know, that we could work together in every aspect of the word. All of that was happening at the exact same time. And lo and behold, you know, I'm praying that prayer, Lord, send me someone. He's praying that prayer, Lord, I want to be available to the woman of God. So the connection was made. There was no question that it was a divine connection, a divine connection. And now in these latter years, you know, they've been with me about 14 or 15 years now. And in these latter years, now going to seminary and watching them grow, watching him grow, you know, with the word. And I'm telling you, God is doing marvelous things in this man's life. And I'm excited. I am excited because look, this is my son. Okay. This is my son. I know his mama gave birth to him, but he's my son. Praise be unto God. And so I just want to, there's no introducing to any of you. I just want to present to you a man of God who has proven who he is. He has proven who he is. Even when he was wrong, he would come back and apologize. And not just to me personally, when he felt that he owed the church an apology, he would come back and he did that. He's a man that we can put our confidence in, a man that we can trust that he will follow the word of God. He's turned into an awesome prayer warrior. I could go on and on and on about the man of God, but I'm just going to let Holy Spirit use him, speak to us, and watch his wife cheesing the whole while he's talking, because you would have think that she gave birth to him the way she grins about him. I want to present to all of you. I want to present to all of you none other than Elder Mark Garnes. God bless you, son. God bless you. God bless you. You know what, y'all? I see y'all, before you say anything, Mark, I see y'all giving your little pity patties. Great. Unmute those phones, y'all, and give the man a good thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Give him an encouraging welcome. Encourage him in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Preach, son. Preach and teach us, son. Amen. Go ahead, baby.
Good morning, my New Vision family. I love you all. Thank you for just being who you are. Thank you for your friendship, for your love, for just, oh my God, you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. I love being a part of this ministry, the ministry that started in the basement. Well, that's where I came into it. It started in the basement. But as we've grown. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to introduce and open the service, introducing the scripture that, you know, is our leading scripture. And I've always said New Vision for Life is growing in Proverbs 29 and 18. And the King James Version says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth, happy is he. Father God, we honor you and we bless you. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that as we come before you, Lord God, our spirit man grows and builds up strong to receive and to hear, Lord God, what you have for us, Lord God, that we would digest your word, Lord God, that we would be in the position, Lord God, to share it, that we would grow from it, that it would instill in us, Lord God, a desire to do something different, a desire to walk a different path, to live a different way than the ways of old, but to proclaim, Lord God, who you are, to honor you, to bless you, to serve you, Lord God, in the wondrous and awesome King that you are. Father God, we honor you and bless you, Lord God. I thank you that as I decrease, your spirit man would increase within me to deliver this word, Lord God, to share what you have poured into me, that your people would be blessed, that we would all hear a word that would not only be a good word, but a word that does some good in our hearts, that changes our direction, that changes our path, that gives us the new vision for life. Amen. Amen. Well, as I read the scripture, the King James Version, Proverbs 29 and 18. I want to share just a quick little statement that I read about vision, and it speaks to us as well. It says, this is by Joel Barker. It says, vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. You know, Apostle was led to this scripture. Holy Spirit spoke to her and guided her to receive a new vision for life when she, as her testimony has said to us many times, was contemplating ending her own life. This is when God spoke to her and said she needed to help people to find a new vision for life. And, you know, some people look at the scripture and they think it's about an emphasis on the importance of vision in leadership, saying, you know, without a long-term plan, without a vision, the people will perish or they'll fall away. But I want to show you something different. I want to show you something that I kind of realized as I was studying the scripture and as I've been reading it and looking at different interpretations, I begin to realize that this scripture is really a call to faith. It's not just talking about a plan, like putting something on a vision board. This is about a call to faith to depend upon the word of God when you don't have any place else to turn.
Come on now.
Just for some context, we're talking about the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs was written mostly by Solomon in Old Testament, of course. The original audience, the people of Israel. And this is what the purpose, this is what the New Living Translation Study Bible says the purpose of the book of Proverbs was. It was to teach the Israelites how to attain wisdom, to disciple, and to teach them how to do what was right, showing them to apply divine wisdom to daily life and to provide moral instruction. Now, this was written to the Israelites a long time ago, but it speaks to us today. It speaks to us prevalently today. And there's three words that are prevalent in that scripture that I want to talk about today that's going to help us just really see how this is a call about our faith. First, vision. Secondly, perish. And third, law. So the definition for vision, the term vision in the Bible refers to a supernatural experience in which a person sees something not present in the physical world. It's an instrument of spiritual revelation. Now, I'm going to use a couple of verses outside of what we're talking about, outside of Proverbs 29:18, to kind of just bring the thoughts back and allude to what I'm speaking on when I talk about vision, when I talk about perish, when I talk about law. But 1 Samuel 3:1 says this: meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. God was telling Samuel through a dream. He had awakened Samuel in the middle of the night, calling out his voice, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel didn't know who it was, but he was telling Samuel that what would be done to Eli for not disciplining his children, his sons, for blasphemy. The visions in this verse refer to some divine communication as from a dream, a revelation, or a prophecy. See, visions are truly messages from God. They're prophetic utterance. They're revelation for a different behavior. They're a call to us to have a different response than what we already have. Like, this is in 1 Samuel, he's telling Samuel that Eli needed to have a different response. Because he didn't, there's going to be a punishment that results. Because he didn't discipline his sons as he was told, there's going to be a different response. How many of us, when we deal with life, need a different response? How many of us need to think about life different, to approach differently? How many of us need a new outlook, need a new understanding, need that new vision to approach life and approach life's situations? And I say situations, and I'm gonna put it in the air quotes, situations cover a multiplicity of things. There's so much that we cover when we talk about situations. It could be our good situations, our bad situations, our blessings, our turmoil, our trials, our tribulations. It could be the place where we feel defeat. It could be the place where we feel the overcoming. But we need a different response. Visions are communications from God to an earthly recipient. God is speaking directly to us here on earth that we would walk a different walk. We would walk a different path, that he could give us direction. Messages sent from God as prophecy and discernment to see the world with the correct judgment. That we're going to judge things differently. We're going to receive things differently. We're going to do things differently. See, now, I realize every day Every single day we're bombarded with the world, with situations that make you feel helpless. You know, your finances are in an uproar. Your children aren't acting right. You're just going through thoughts of defeat. Your marriage is in turmoil. Your job isn't looking right. You know, it's just feels like defeat. It's just like we think things just aren't going to work out. Things aren't going to work out. Oh my God, I'm so blessed by the song. Reminder, when that song came on, I was like, oh my God, this song is about to be my word. Like I couldn't believe it when I heard this song. So Minister Kyle, thank you for sharing that song. Thank you for allowing Holy Spirit to lead you in that. But we need reminders. We need reminders to let us know God is always moving, because Satan would have you to doubt and cause you to miss out on the revelation that God is always moving. He hasn't stopped, won't stop, and will continue from before you were born till after you die. God is always going to be moving on the behalf of his people. That's Amen. Just who God is. God will always move. There is nothing that can separate us from his love. Nothing can separate us from his move, from his power. The only thing that can separate us or draw us away from it is us to doubt that he is actually moving. Because in a position of doubt, we start to feel like, well, God, you said your word says this, but I just can't see it right now. I mean, your word says that if I train my children in the right way, they won't depart from it, but my child's acting amok. Your word says for a man, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, but my marriage is distraught. My marriage mm-hmm. is falling apart. Mm-hmm. Your word says that I would be that health and that health and prosperity of mine, but yet I'm sick every day. God, mm-hmm. word mm-hmm. says it, but I just don't see it. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. I don't recognize it. I don't see it. That's where the enemy wants you to stand, and that's the place the position the enemy wants you to be in. I can't see it. I don't feel it. It just doesn't make sense to me. When we're in that place, we have no vision. But what vision? What it means when it says there is no vision in Proverbs 29:18, when there is no vision, what it's really saying, where there is no revelation, where mm-hmm. we're not hearing from God, we don't see the outcome the way we need to. We don't see what God has already said and spoken over us. We need that reminder, but something in us is reminding us of how bad the situation is, not how good God is in the bad situation.
Amen.
God is always giving us direction to navigate our situation. The direction may not, and many times I go through this every day. God, this just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I pray and I tithe, but my finances are still a mess. It doesn't make sense that I still have to get up every day and worry about testing blood sugar. It doesn't make sense that I've got to get up and worry, is my son going to be okay? Worry about my grandchildren going to school. Worry about a world that's just full of turmoil. It doesn't make sense. But God is providing direction and guidance. What the New Living Translation says, when we talk about Proverbs 29:18, it says, when the people don't accept divine guidance. That is vision, divine guidance. That is revelation, divine guidance. God is giving revelation to us all, but we choose whether to listen or to move in our own direction. Proverbs 15:32 says this: if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. If you reject divine guidance, if you reject revelation, if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. Saints of God, we can't continue to make world decisions and world choices and want God results. It just won't work out. We're going through the day and we're trying to say, oh, well, God, I want this and I want to do this and I need this and I need that. And then we want God to fix it after we've made the decisions without him. We've got to depend on God. We've got to trust God. Proverbs 29:19, it says, the people perish. The people perish. Now, when I heard perish and heard the word perish, I just thought, well, the people die? Is that what it means? Well, we're just going to fall away and die? But no. The original Hebrew word translated to perish, or as what's in the New Living Translation says, cast off restraint, actually means to loosen. And loosen means allowing to be uncontrolled or run wild. When we don't follow revelation, when we reject discipline, mm-hmm. when we don't have vision, mm-hmm. we are run amok. We run wild. Mm-hmm. We are uncontrolled. The NIV, and I'm going to read, I'm going to reference Exodus 32, verse 25. The NIV reads, Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control. This uses the same word, the same Hebrew translated word as perish. Here we're talking about where Moses had gone to the mountain and was receiving the covenant from God, receiving the commandments from God. And while he was gone, the Israelites asked Aaron to make them a god to worship. So Aaron melts down all the gold and whatnot and creates the golden calf, and they worship. When Moses returns, he heard the sounds, what Joshua said sound like sounds of war. Moses says, no, they're celebrating. It sounds like sounds of praise. And they were actually praising and worshiping the golden calf. See, what they had done, they were unsure of their situation. They even questioned, we don't know where Moses is. We don't know where the Moses, the one we're supposed to follow into this new land is. The one that's supposed to lead us, we don't know where he is. So without him, let's go back to what's comfortable. Let's get an idol and go ahead and worship that, because that's going to give us our revelation. That's going to give us what we need to see. That's going to give us some vision of where to go, some direction. But isn't that what we do? What's your reaction when things get hard? Mm. When life is beating you down, when you're unsure what's happening, what is our reaction? It's doubt. We lose the sight of revelation for some, we quickly go back to what God brought us out of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Get what God brought us out of. We revert back to the very things that we used to do. We revert back to the old ways. We've been set free and delivered, but yet we go back to captivity when things get hard. We go back. We run back. We desire like the Israelites did. They even murmured, we should just go back to Egypt where we were enslaved. They would rather be enslaved than be free with unsurety, and not be assured of where they were going. And that's how we are. When we aren't sure of it, we'd rather go back to where we were. We'd rather go back to, even if it hurts, if it's painful, we'd rather go back to the pain we know than what we're sure of. That's amazing. That's human nature, that we would desire suffering over freedom, if suffering is recognizable. That's crazy. If suffering is recognizable, we would rather be there than be in freedom, because we're not sure of the next step. But God says, depend on me, lean on me. I am revelation. He is revelation. His word is revelation. A lot of us, when we're facing stuff, we're asking God, what are you doing? This cannot be the plan. Like, this can't be what's going on. And just like the Israelites, we end up going astray. We cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, we cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation, we don't perish, but we cast off restraint. We become uncontrollable. We become like those that would run wild. We don't have any rule that guides us. We don't have any direction. We don't have any reinforcement to tell us, this is where God is leading us to go. God is showing us something, but in our desire, in our flesh, we want to be the ones who fix the situation and then say, God, I didn't get it right, but can you make it right? But make it right how I have it. Not how you have it, not how you've given revelation to, but how I want to receive it, how I want to do it, the way that makes sense to me. Sometimes God isn't going to make sense to you. Sometimes God's plan won't make sense. But glory to God, even when it doesn't make sense, it's the thing that you need. It's the thing that we need to receive to be right, to walk the path, to live right, to receive the blessings. There's promises, but there's a cost. We truly need an outlook different from the ways of the world. We need a new vision. We need direction that keeps us grounded when we face life. When we were in the world, we were wrapped in sin and iniquity, and we were living uncontrolled and running wild. We ran wild when we lived the life of sin. Why go back to that place where we cast off restraint, where we ignore what God has told us? Each and every day, we're learning more and more. I know I'm blessed with, an apostle said it, you know, being in seminary, I'm learning so much more. And my wife and I are enjoying studying and reading together and getting so much more foundation and understanding, you know, to understand hermeneutics and to understand how to rightly divide the word of God and break the word of God down so you can apply it to life. So it's not just a contextual read, but a discussion that allows you to implement what the word is saying in our lives. Because a lot of times we read it and we bypass what it truly means. I'm gonna give you an example. And my wife and I were talking about this, you know, in one of our classes, we had to share something that we learned or something that touched us in our New Testament survey class. And both of us shared this. We were talking about, scripture says, when Christ came in human form. And our teacher, Dr. Wilson, made a statement, and it really took us to a whole different understanding. I just want to share this with you real quick. This is off topic, but just real quick. He said that, you know, we brush over Christ taking human form. We think about the crucifixion. We think about the suffering, yes. But we don't think what it meant that he lowered himself.
Yep.
Think about how much he lowered himself. Christ had excrement. Christ actually went to the bathroom and had to wipe himself with a rock. That's what he did in that day and time. Forgive me for the terminology, but that's how low God made himself for us. That's how he stepped down from his throne to serve us, to uplift us, to build us. And yet we walk away from his revelation.
Wow. Wow.
Yet we choose our own decisions and our own way rather than following him. So we are casting off the restraint. His word is a restraint to keep us tied and bound and rooted in what's good. But yet we fall back to the ways of the world when we ignore who he is and what he did. Think about that. Like, how low God came as a human just to die for me. That type of discussion is the discussion that we've been having, and it just changed my outlook. Like, I had to repent because I felt like, Lord God, I really didn't take into full account what that meant for me. What that meant for me. But my choices to run wild. Like, I'm not going to ask, you know, we all have run wild. I'm not going to ask how wild, but we've all been out there. We were all out there. I don't think there's anybody on this screen who has lived a perfect life who wasn't out there in something, doing something that wasn't right. And if we're honest as Christians today, some of us still aren't there. I mean, we good Christians from 11 to 2 on Sunday, but what about the rest of the week?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Yeah, we're doing good in the midst of service when we're praising, worshiping, and raising our hands. But what about when we get cussed out on Monday? Are we going to raise our hands and worship? Or are we going to be ready to raise our fists and swing?
Yep.
Are we making misguided decisions and then asking God to fix it? There is no vision, the people perish, says, without the word of God, people are loose and go their own way. They live without restraint. They live without restraint. Now, going further in 2019, it says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he, is saying, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. See, 2019 is telling us there's a reward. Blessings are the reward, but there's a cost. There's a call to action. We have to keep the law. We have to honor and follow the law. But let's discuss the law. David says in Psalms 119, I'm going to read Psalms verse 19, verses 7 through 11. The instruction of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them.
Mm-hmm.
The law of God, the word of God, is more desirable than gold. How often do we chase after the ways of the world and not realize how desirable the word is? That's what we should be chasing after. We should be chasing after living up to the word of God. That's our desire. That says it's more desirable than gold. Something that with the imagery that David is using here, he's saying something as precious as gold doesn't even compare to how good God's word is, how good his instructions are, how good his revelation is, how much it means. It's sweeter than honey. Even honey dripping from the comb, like that's we talking about some natural stuff here, dripping from the comb. That's unfiltered. It's perfect. It doesn't get better than that. That's the imagery he's using. Revelation doesn't get better than what comes from God. Wisdom doesn't get better than what comes from God. It's nothing that's greater for us, for the body, for the mind, for the spirit, for the soul. It's nothing more desirable than God's word. It's more desirable than gold itself. Even the finest gold is what David says.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to understand something. Keeping the law is not about obeying a list of do's and don'ts. It's not about do this and don't do this and do this and don't do that. It's not a call to legalism, but it's a call to a relationship with God.
Yes, yes.
David talks later on in that same chapter, he says, David talks about fear of the Lord being pure in verse 9. Fearing the Lord is pure work, is pure. He calls himself God's servant in verse 13. He calls God his Lord, my rock and redeemer in verse 14. God is everything that we need. His revelation, his word is everything that we need. Yet we choose to walk without vision. We choose to walk without revelation. And in that, we are without restraint. We are running wild. We're running amok. But glory be to God, we have the word. Glory be to God, we have the direction. We have it. I have to repent every day for not reading as much as I could, for not spending as much time in the word as I should. Because I think about the people who don't have the opportunity. We have the freedom to open the word of God 5 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever time to open it and read it freely, whether you're sitting outside, sitting out, wherever. We have the and to speak it out loud. There are places in this world that they can't even own a Bible. They're killed for having a Bible. Yet, we don't even open ours. We only open ours when we're going through something. We only open ours when we feel like the situation just looks a little more dire than we can handle, so we want to get some revelation. But God's revelation is true and is always poured upon us. Each and every day, every hour of the day, every minute, every second, there's no time that God isn't pouring out, that God isn't speaking. Our ears are just sometimes closed. We have to open our ears to hear so that we aren't the ones that cast off restraint, that we aren't the ones that run wild. God is asking for a relationship. John 14 and 15 says, if you love me, obey my commands.
Yes.
If you love me, follow my word, and you will not be led astray by the world. If you love me, you will follow my word, mm-hmm. and you will not be led astray by the world. That's what we're seeing in John 14, 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 2 says, long ago God spoke many times and in many times to our ancestors through prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. Thank God for the living word, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God, for the living word coming upon us, being with us, for us to receive, to hear, to express, to understand, and recognize who you are and whose we are. God, thank you. Thank you. John 1:1-4, Marici, I'm going to share this verse from John chapter 1 that just talks about more about the word and the living word. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
His life, the living word, the word of God brought revelation, brought discernment, brought direction, brought clarity to everyone. Jesus is the living word, the word of God. That is who we should be chasing after. When we have a vision, we're not studying and reading and understanding and digesting the word of God. We're not taking Christ into our situation with us. We're walking on our own. We're cast off. We're depending upon our own understanding. We're not leaning on Christ. We're leaning on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And standing in our own direction. Verse 14 says, so the word became human and made him among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Our guidance as Christians should be the example of Christ. Faced with hatred, he loved. Faced with temptation, even when he was faced with temptation in the wilderness, what was his response? The word of God. He gave back the word of God as a response to every temptation. That should be our example. Every temptation, we give back the word of God. The world says this, but the word says this.
Yes, yes.
It says, I can't, but the word says that I am. Because the great I am says that I am an overcomer. The great I am says that I'm prosperous. The great I am says that I'm healed. Faced with pain, Christ leaned upon God for strength. He remained faithful.
Yes.
To say that the word became human means the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This means that Jesus embodied God, is the embodiment of God's message to humanity. Christ is and was and will always be the message, the embodiment of God's message. He's the embodiment of God's promise. He's the embodiment of God's covenant with us that we are his children, do the inheritance of his kingdom. Verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Christ Jesus. Christ is the new vision for our lives. He's the way to the happiness that we hear about in Proverbs 29 and 18. Says, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When we keep Christ, when we keep the living word as a part of our, as an instrument of our everyday life, as a tool to use to battle our situations, our infirmities, our pain, our issues. When we hold on to that in the midst of this dark world, Christ is that happiness. He is what gives us that happiness. Proverbs 20:19 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When we fail to read God's word and live it out in our lives, we become without vision. When we ignore God's word, when we begin to live, we begin to live without restraint and we live to our own peril. Conversely, when we heed God's word, we are blessed.
Yes.
Said in John 15, verses 9 through 11, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. That's the relationship. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands, the example that Christ gave us, and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in your heart. My joy, my happiness, the happiness that's promised in 29:18, the happiness that we're due when we keep the law is may be in your heart that you, I'm sorry, may be in you that you may be complete. God has given us his word and he calls us to be faithful to it. In keeping God's word, we find joy in him. In keeping God's word, we have vision. We aren't the people without vision. We are the ones that are held strong. We're not cast off without restraint. We are happy and joyous in his precious and matchless name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Tabika, just pause the recording. Don't stop it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you.